Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can find them online at rileysguns.com, and you can call in with your questions right here on Bulldog Live at 866-823-1077.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
And with that, Steve Voss, thank you very much. You come and take it. Attorney Penny Dean joins us right now here on Bulldog Live for Second Amendment Tuesdays. Good morning, Penny.
Morning.
How are you?
Well, I'm lovely. It's a beautiful day. We finally have fall in New Hampshire.
Oh, yes, I know, with the colors and all the leaves that have to be picked up.
Yeah, that's what I was actually thinking, you know.
Yes.
I'm going out and saying, I'm thinking it's just not. It's good and bad. It's good and bad. It's pretty colors, but yeah, someone's got to get out there and rake and rake and rake.
That will be me.
You know what? Gal darn it. Aren't those kids old enough to rake yet?
No, not yet. But I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine last night as well, and he says, you know what? He says, good thing there's child labor laws, because I know what you do to your kids.
I think when you're not paying them, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you're not going to be paying them, right?
Right. Nothing says about earning your keep, right? Sorry.
Yeah. So, you know what, though? You can start teaching them to hunt, and they can go out and fill the supper table.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Well, why not?
Yeah. No, I think they'll get a lot of good lessons out of that. And hopefully, what I was hoping to do today is continue. We've started several times because it's a really, really large subject, is the different crimes and the different things that can lose a person their right to keep and bear arms. Because, you know, people always have this theory or this thought that if it's not a felony, I can still own firearms. And the other thing, you know, which is kind of a misnomer, actually. And even more importantly, is over the years, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, people would get in a fight with their wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. The police would be called. They'd say, look, they'd haul one person away or give them a citation and send them on their way. And in those days, it was no big deal. Sometimes they'd pay, you know, no fine. Sometimes they'd pay $20 or $50 and wouldn't think a thing about it. Well, a lot of those are what's called domestic violence misdemeanors.
Right.
And at the time, there wasn't a bar against owning firearms for a domestic violence misdemeanor. Well, now there is. And the bottom line that people keep missing is that people say, well, it doesn't say domestic violence on the misdemeanor. Well, what the courts tend to do is they look at whether or not the relationship between you and the alleged victim, or in this case the victim, because you've already been convicted, okay, what it was. Were you their boyfriend, girlfriend, former boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other? And the courts, unfortunately, will be happy to fill in the blanks for you. So, you know, isn't it helpful when they do that?
Yes.
You know? Yeah, they say, well, that's not a problem. It doesn't say domestic violence in there. Don't you worry. We'll just fill that in. You know, and I tell people, if there's any type of relationship between you and someone in the past, that I'm constantly amazed about people who get in trouble with both domestic violence misdemeanors and felonies, that they could go get them annulled if you're in New Hampshire. And it's a relatively straightforward and easy process, and it removes the legal disability. I had a guy call me yesterday. He says, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was 20 years ago. I said, you forgot about getting arrested and thrown in jail?
Well, you know, the human mind has a way of blocking out traumatic events in our lives, I guess.
It does. It does.
I guess.
And he said, it was been so long, I thought I could just go into a gun store and attempt to buy a gun. And, of course, he got denied, which is why he was calling me.
Right.
And I said, there's something about those records. They don't forget. They put them in a computer and they're there forever. You can't. I said, what were you
thinking?
Yeah, it's
like that student loan that you forgot about 50 years ago when we go to collect Social Security. The government says, no, we're going to pay ourselves back right now. Thank you.
Not only that, I'll tell you the other thing is that they can guarantee your tax returns.
Exactly.
You know.
They don't. Government does not forget. They might be a little slow in catching up to you. They never forget. They're like a cat. They never forget.
That's exactly right. and so I always tell people that when it comes to these things, the other thing is there's people who have had convictions out of state, and they moved to New Hampshire.
Yep.
And because it takes forever to get what I call convictions online, what happens is, let's say you were convicted in Florida or Alabama or goodness knows where, those states are slowly but surely entering what I call their data in the national database. And just because they haven't done it for a few years, so people say, well, I was buying things fine for 3 or 4 years, and all of a sudden I can't buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because they finally added in your Alabama conviction from 1942, you know, that they hadn't got around to putting in the database.
Which and can so, raise an interesting question.
Because what's
that? What about all the other guns that you've bought? Now, are you a prohibited person that you're not allowed to even have possession of those anymore?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, no kidding.
Absolutely. Let me tell you about one client I once had, and I was like, please tell me you didn't do this. Because you know how, here's what happened. The person... it could have been simply and legally and easily taken care of, but you know how it is. You close your eyes like the ostrich and put your head in the sand, and it's not there, right?
Uh-huh.
And so they did that, and they had been purchasing firearms for years and years and years, and they were denied at a particular store, and they indignantly went to the particular law enforcement agency and said, look. And they said, look, you have this issue on your record. It shows that you were convicted here of this and this. Is this you? And this person, instead of what I call STFU, which is shut your mouth, okay, proceeded to say, I've been buying guns for 20 years. I bought a gun here and I bought a gun there. And they said, oh, really? Oh, really? So then You get a charge for each one of those guns.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that's what I tell people. I go, listen, shut up. And the bar against firearms is not only firearms, it's against ammunition and all ammunition components.
Oh, boy.
So if you're a reloader, okay, and this is where lawyers get in a tricky position, because I can't advise you to have someone aid and abet you. So, for example, I can't say, Bulldog, get your best friend John and clean out your house, because what I'm doing then is advising you to do something illegal.
Oh, my gosh.
So here's all I can tell people like that. Look, I'll tell people, look, I can't tell you certain things. I can give you general legal information, and anybody with half a brain can figure out what to do. But, for example, I would say, look, you can have any of those components in your house or in your possession or in your control or in your access or anything. Well, should I take them to my – and I'm like, I can't tell you what to do with that stuff. should I get my friend John help me? I said, think about this. If you get your friend John to come over there, John is aiding and abetting you in moving that stuff. So, you know, the thing that I would do if I were in that position – not that I ever would be, is that I might take them somewhere and store them quietly. But the bottom line is, you know, I think it's really bad when you ask people to help you do that.
Yeah.
You know, because the bottom line is that you're really in a really difficult position, especially somebody that reloads and has, you know, a lot of ammunition, or like one client I once had that got all the guns out of his house and left the ammunition there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's the problem. And so the bottom line is that once you get into this prohibition, there, even if you get an annulment, people say, well, I'll just get an annulment now. I go, you can do that, but all those things in the past, that doesn't erase those. You know, it doesn't. And the thing is, in New Hampshire, annulments are cheap. When I say cheap, okay, it costs a $100 filing fee,
uh-huh,
a $100 investigation fee to the probation parole, and $100 for the state police to enter it. And so in the big scheme of things, $300 is cheap money.
Okay, yeah. Well, when you're talking about restoring your rights, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. At least in New Hampshire, and obviously in other states, there are some states that you cannot restore your rights other than a gubernatorial pardon.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing that I tell people all the time is every state is every day restricting more and more and more the things that do have annulments or stealing or expungements. They are more and more and more restricting what can be sealed or annulled. So I tell people, look, you're crazy if you don't get it done now, because what could be annulled 5 years ago in some states can no longer be annulled or expunged.
Wow.
Because they keep restricting what can be done. And the other thing that gets people into really big trouble is the terms annulment, expungement, and sealing. Those three terms mean very, very different things in different states. So just because, for example, you know, annulment means a certain thing in New Hampshire, it may not mean the same thing in another state.
Wow.
That's hugely important to people. Because, for example, in Massachusetts, you can have your records sealed, okay? That does not remove legal disabilities in most instances.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's where people get very confused. Because, for example, in New Hampshire, if you have an annulment, it removes the legal disability. So let's say you had a felony, and you had it, so you cannot lawfully purchase, possess, you know, firearms, and you get that felony annulled, and you get all your, what I call your gold seal from the court, okay, you can now lawfully go buy firearms. You have an annulment.
Right.
Okay, in Massachusetts, the provisions they have, now years ago they've changed their provisions. Their current provisions are sealing, okay? Sealing does not remove that disability. So let's say you have a felony in Massachusetts and you get your record sealed.
Uh-huh.
That does not mean at this current point, now again over the years they've had different provisions, that you can go purchase firearms. In Massachusetts, once you have messed up there, it's pretty much, in most instances, lifetime bans. And so I tell people, you know, that if it's your first trip through the berry bushes, if you will, in many states, it is worth spending a whole pile of money and fighting like crazy. Because in some states, if you get a ban, you're banned for life everywhere. And so I have people say, well, you know what, I'll just move to New Hampshire because that doesn't affect me in New Hampshire. And I'm like, yeah, actually it does. Because what happens is whether or not you can own firearms, we look to the state of your conviction. So
uh-huh.
There are a lot of people who mistakenly think, you know, if you have a conviction for X in Massachusetts, you can't own a firearm. But if you have that same conviction for X in New Hampshire, you can. And I explain to them it's really not that easy because we have a lot of Massachusetts transplants up here.
Right.
And I say, yes, if you were convicted of X in New Hampshire, you would be able to own a firearm. But the way that it works, and it's really this complex thing that's too big for a radio show, but the general way it works is if it's a felony in New Hampshire, you have a defense for that. Because New Hampshire law says if this particular crime would not have been a felony in New Hampshire, we're not going to consider it a felony. But the way most people get in trouble and lose their firearm rights is most of the things that make them lose their firearm rights from Massachusetts are misdemeanors, not felonies.
Uh-huh.
Because Massachusetts has that famous, that we've talked about before, 2.5-year misdemeanor. Because remember, under federal law, if you could have received more than 2 years in jail, prison, or incarceration, whatever term you want to use, that's the trigger for losing your firearm rights under federal law.
See, and that's interesting. If you could have received, so let's say you were found guilty of something, but the judge only sentenced you to a year in jail, but yet the law allowed him to sentence you to 3 years in jail, you would lose your rights even though you didn't spend 2.5 years in jail.
Absolutely, and believe it or not, most of the cases that I see, people didn't even spend 1 day in jail.
Mm.
They paid $100 or $200 or $500 fine and went on their way. And so they're just incredulous when I tell them. They go, that can't be right. And I'll be like, oh, I'm pretty sure it is. Pretty sure it is. And I go through the analysis with them because what really confuses people is I tell people, it's not whether or not you did any time in jail. It's what you potentially could have received in jail.
Wow, that's amazing. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live, Second Amendment Tuesdays, in the couple of minutes that we have remaining with Attorney Penny Dean, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop and Hooksit. You can find them online at rileysguns.com. Oh, yes, they've got 25% off all used muzzle loaders, by the way, and that sale, well, that could end at any time, so you might want to check them out at 1575 Hooksit Road. That is in Hooksit. Or give them a call at 485-5000. They've got the biggest selection of anything you could possibly want.
I'm going there when I leave there here to, or when the radio show's done today.
Oh, good.
You know what I'm getting?
No, what?
Do you know they have firearms? They're legally firearms under the law, but they're what's called cutaway guns. Have you ever seen them?
Explain further.
Okay, cutaway guns, what they are, they're made by the manufacturer typically, and they have all the moving parts. The metal is actually cut away so you can see all the mechanical parts of the firearm.
Oh, yes. Okay. Sure.
Aren't they cool?
Ah.
Yeah, and they cost the same price as the firearm, which is really kind of funny. They're regulated like a firearm. They're totally non-functional, but I love them. I think they're really good learning tools.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, so I've got another one, and they told me it's in, so I'm like a kid at Christmas, my guns, and I'm going to get it.
Well, it's amazing when people learn, you know, what makes a gun work, you know?
Yeah, it's super, super cool to understand that. And I really like understanding the mechanics and, you know, how things interact. And so whenever the thing that I'm looking for now is a cutaway shotgun.
Huh.
And, yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
I like to see that if you ever get one.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I will. I've got pictures of one I saw in Pittsburgh at the NRA show. But it was the end of the day, and theirs wasn't for sale, and I was trying to get someone to help me. And I guess they were all anxious because it was the end of day. And I'm like, but we're still talking cool guns, and you guys are rushing out of here. You know, they're just leaving. But I'll tell you the other thing that unfairly gets people denied firearms, and it happens in New Hampshire a lot.
Well, I have about a minute and a half.
Okay, is that some crimes that when you were convicted years ago were misdemeanors, and now they're felonies. So when they pull up the check, they go, oh, you were convicted of XYZ, it's a felony, and therefore you can't own firearms. And the person's like, oh, no, it was a misdemeanor. And what happens is the person reading the screen presumes, because the crime is a felony now, that it was a felony at the time the person was convicted. Does that make sense?
Repeat that again, please.
Okay, let's say you were convicted of XYZ 20 years ago, right?
Uh-huh.
And XYZ was a misdemeanor at the time.
Right.
And let's say that same crime today is a felony. So when the police department or NICS or anybody pulls up your record, they say Bulldog was convicted of XYZ. And they go, oh, well, that's a felony.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
But it is a felony today, but 20 years ago when you were convicted,
right,
it was a misdemeanor.
Exactly. So what standard applies? Is it a felony or a misdemeanor?
No, the misdemeanor standard applies, but what happens is you're unfairly denied, and then sometimes they charge you. I had a client charged. We went to court.
Uh-huh.
And I had to do a memo of law and say to the judge, look, here's the penalties for that crime at the time. Yes, we agree it's a felony today, but no, the older one applies, but that's what caused them to unfairly charge him with attempting to illegally buy a firearm when he really didn't. He wasn't a prohibited person, but because the person reading the screen didn't realize that 25, in this case it was 26 years ago, that crime wasn't a felony 26 years ago.
Yes.
I know, confusing, isn't it?
That's why I had you repeat it.
Yeah, no, it's very confusing because you always have to look at what was the penalty at the time the person was convicted, because that governs what happens to that person. And sometimes when you look up, like if you look up a law, okay, what was the law 26 years ago and what was the penalty 26 years ago? Believe it or not, that's not always easy to find.
Gotcha. Well, with that, Penny, I've got to run. If anybody has any questions about this, they should call you.
230-9999.
All right, very good. And again, thank you to Riley Sports Shop and Hooksett for making Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean possible. We'll chat with you next week.
Next week.
All right, take care. Yep. Bye-bye.